Now we come to this part of the service which is described as the fencing of the Lord's table. An account is given of who should be at the table and who should not be at the table. Now the word sacrament, and this is a sacrament of the New Testament, it is a Latin word. Originally it meant simply something sacred. It came to have a wider meaning, and in the military, the sacramentum decere involved swearing an oath of allegiance to a general or army, or indeed the king. Swearing allegiance was the sacramentum decere. And it's perhaps understandable how such a term came to be adopted by the church in relation to its sacraments. The swearing of an oath or allegiance to the king, in this case, the King of Kings, King Jesus. And there's that element to the sacrament. Recognition on the part of those who receive it that Christ is their king. Sacraments are for those devoted to the service of the king, King Jesus, and only such. Only such. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul speaks of Christ in these terms. He says in verse 7, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." You notice these terms, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Who are these? Who are those who are mentioned? Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. It is those for whom he is Savior. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, resting upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for them. Self-examination is involved in approaching the supper. This is an element of the preparatory services, of course, the encouragement of self-examination, particularly in the Thursday and Friday services. And we have it here in 1 Corinthians 5 as well. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." So that there is an element of self-examination, encouragement to purge out the old leaven. It is not for those who make no profession of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man. It is for those who trust in Jesus, however weak they may feel themselves to be, or think their faith to be, however lacking they may feel of assurance itself. Do remember that no one earns the Lord's Supper by their works. No one earns the Lord's Supper by their works. The self-examination is not an earning of the Lord's Supper by worthiness. The self-examination is not a quest for worthiness, but it is a test of sincerity. Its purpose is to exercise care in approaching the ordinance. No one works up worthiness, but they can and will know and should know that they love the Lord Jesus Christ, that they're resting upon his finished work, that they know him as their Savior and Lord. That is their trust, that is their hope in him. The sacrament is for them, however unworthy they may feel, however unworthy you may feel. The worthiness as you sit at the Lord's table is the worthiness of Jesus and your reliance upon it. And whoever does not have that ought not to be at the table. We read in the Directory for Public Worship, among the standards of our church, "This sacrament is a singular medicine for all poor sick creatures, a comfortable help to weak souls, and that our Lord requireth no other worthiness on our part, but that we unfeignedly acknowledge our imperfection. We also acknowledge, of course, Christ as our Lord, our hope, and we have a desire to honour him in our lives and in the ordinance. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And that is how to approach the Lord's Supper, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Our warrant for this ordinance is found in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, from verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And according to these words of institution as given through the Apostle Paul, we follow the example in giving thanks to him for the ordinance and for these elements. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank thee for this ordinance. We thank thee for the occasion and opportunity and privilege that is ours of gathering round the table of the Lord for an ordinance instituted by him. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be touched because thou art with us, that wherever there are two or three gathered in thy name, thou art present in the midst. And we are thankful for this in our services, in our ordinances, in our sacraments, especially as we come to this ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We pray that we might be very conscious of thee drawing near to us and supping with us, and we with thee. So we thank thee for these elements that speak to us so eloquently of what Jesus did for the salvation of sinners like us. We thank thee for the broken body and for the shed blood. We thank thee, Lord, for all that he did for the salvation of an innumerable multitude which no man can number. And we pray, Lord, that our minds and hearts will be found this afternoon meditating upon him and rejoicing in a salvation accomplished, something that we could never do ourselves. But we thank thee for what Jesus did. Gracious Lord, help us in every aspect of the service to honour thee. Help us to recognise our dependence upon thee. Send thy Holy Spirit amongst us. And grant, Lord, that we may be stirred not only in communion and fellowship with the Saviour, but also with one another as we enjoy the communion of the body and blood of Jesus. Graciously bless us then and receive our thanksgiving for these things, forgiving all our sin and blessing us for Jesus' sake. Amen. As we contemplate partaking of these elements, I'd just like to draw your minds and hearts towards things which will stir you in taking these elements that speak of the Saviour and of his saving work. In chapter 10 of John's Gospel, we have a beautiful picture given by the Lord himself of himself. And I think it's a wonderful picture which stirs us as we sit at the Lord's table, that this is our Saviour. He speaks here in John chapter 10 about who he is. In verse 11 we read, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In verse 14 we read, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Well, here we are sitting around his table, and he is, we are reminded, the good shepherd. As the good shepherd, what does he know? He knows his own. He has called them by his grace. He knows them by name. He knows you by name. He knows you by name, not the name that you are known by others, but he knows you as one of his sheep. It's a wonderful thought that here, as we gather around his table, we recognize him as the good shepherd and us as his sheep. He gathers his sheep. He loves his sheep. He cares for his sheep. He instructs his sheep. And we are here to meet with him. He is meeting with us. And he cares for us. And what we reflect in the Lord's Supper is his dying love. These elements speak to us of what he did in order that you might be sitting here professing faith in him and partaking of these elements. Because he described here, you see, as the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. He is spoken of here as the good shepherd who knows his sheep and is known by them. And he laid down his life for the sheep. As you partake of these elements, contemplate this. Meditate upon it. Meditate upon the good shepherd giving his life for you, so that you might have an eternal and everlasting hope through grace. So that through this ordinance itself, as he meets with us, as he breathes his spirit upon us, we may be strengthened in the life of faith and hope and godliness. So as we read here in the words of institution, when he had given thanks, he brake the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." By faith, the people of God are strengthened through this ordinance. Christ is present in the power of his Holy Spirit and blesses word and sacrament to our hearts, stirring us surely to a new obedience. There's a wonderful story or record in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, of two downcast disciples trudging their way home to Emmaus after hearing of after realizing the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and wondering if all was finished. They had heard about a resurrection, but they didn't have confirmation of that, and they were very downcast. Someone joined himself to them as they walked back. It would have been dusk. And he spoke about them. He spoke to them about what had happened. And he brought out of the scriptures the things that ought to happen concerning Christ. And they were very taken with this teaching that they received, not recognizing this person who came alongside them. There is that moment when they come to their house, whether it was a lady and a gentleman, or two gentlemen, or two, we don't know for sure, but when they came to the door, it was as though he was going to just pass on. But they prevailed upon him, this man who'd come alongside them, to come in and to have supper with them. And they continued speaking about these things that had happened that day concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And they went in to tarry with them. But then we read these moving words. "It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them." Now this wasn't the administration of the Lord's Supper, but we can understand it in these terms as well. "Because their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." And what did they do? Well, their eyes had been opened, their hearts had been stirred. They realized that this had been Jesus that had met with them, the risen Lord. And they recognized him. They say afterwards to the other disciples in the breaking of bread. He was known of them in breaking bread. But they didn't stay where they were. They went all the way back. They trudged all the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And now they went all the way back. And it would have been getting dark for sure. But that was no issue to them. You can imagine their tread being very heavy as they went home to Emmaus, and you can imagine it being very light as they went back to Jerusalem to share with the disciples that the Lord had come alongside them. And what did they say? You see, they were full of excitement about what the Lord had taught them. What a valuable thing it was. What a wonderfully stirring thing it was, because they were to testify. "Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us by the way and opened to us the word of God?" And is that not to be the experience of us as we leave the table of the Lord? That we can say, "Did not our heart burn within us as he met with us at the table and opened to us the word of God?" The one who was the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. "Behold, the Lamb of God, who giveth, who taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, that our hearts would burn within us as he speaks with us through his word and by his sacrament. And that we would be like these disciples as well, full of zeal and enthusiasm to go from here and share what he has done for our souls. That others might catch something of the enthusiasm and zeal that we ought to have for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we will be ready and so that we will be eager to share with others what he has done for us. Did not our souls, our hearts, burn within us as he talked with us by the way while he opened to us the scriptures.